And now, your hosts for Life from the Pulpit, here's Nick Perez.
That's right, and welcome to the new era of eloquence and exposition. This is Live from the Pulpit, the fastest half-hour podcast in the West, live and local on location at Merced Church of Christ, deep in the heart of the Central Valley, offering up news and views you can use on Scripture and society with a little help from my friends. I am your host for this half-hour excursion into theology and other sundry matters, the voice of the Valley, Nick Perez. Greetings, welcome to the program, glad you tuned in. You've probably seen in the news here, I mean, it's 24/7 coverage, over in Baltimore. You know, they're having riots, what began as protests concerning the unfortunate, tragic, and at the same time, somewhat confusing death, curious death of Freddie Gray. And I mean, this has been going on now for a few years. Actually, you could trace this all the way back to the 60s, before that to the Reconstruction era, even before that to the Civil War, even before that to slave trade. I mean, there's been a long history here concerning race in the country of America. And I don't know if I'm the best and most qualified person to talk about this. I am a Hispanic male, Hispanic descent. And so, you know, as far as race is concerned, you know, our world is ethnically diverse. It's racially diverse. Our country is ethnically and racially diverse. And I want to say that right at the beginning, I think that's good. I think it's good that we're different. I mean, can you imagine if everyone was the same? Be pretty boring, right? And so diversity in ethnicity and in race, I think it's a beautiful thing. There's an assortment of customs, languages, cultures. And I think all those things, they have value, and we should celebrate diversity while seeking to understand the various backgrounds of one another. And in fact, I'm pretty certain that the church in one location will look different, maybe even very different, than a church at another location due to the differences in culture and background. Now, the problem is when these differences drive a dividing wedge, when it's not just race, but it could be ethnicity, it could be skin color, it could be how you talk. When those differences breed prejudice, well, then we've entered into territory where there be monsters. And from time immemorial, humans have held prejudices against others based on their ethnicity, the color of their skin, where they're from, how they speak. And largely, those prejudices are driven by our fears. Specifically, the fear of that which is unfamiliar. Fear of those who are unlike us. In fact, I think you have a glaring example of this by a well-known Bible character. In Genesis 27, verse 46, Rebekah, who is the wife of Isaac, she is the mother of Jacob and Esau, she says, "I loathe my life because of the Hittite women," or the daughters of Heth, maybe your margin says. You see, her son Esau had married a couple of Hittite women. And so because of that, Rebecca, who, by the way, she loved Jacob. Esau, that was Isaac's favorite. And they had a lot of family problems here to begin with. And I can't help but wonder that maybe part of this is driven by that, but they could be separate things. She says, if Jacob marries one of the Hittite women like these, one of the women of the land, what good will my life be to me? So right there, there seems, at least it's the language of, prejudice. I don't know if it's racism so much as it's ethnicism. Because I believe they're all from the same race. They're just different ethnicities. I'll talk about that more in just a moment. But, and maybe it's a perfect time to talk about it now. I mean, where did all these ethnic groups come from? Where did the races come from? And in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 10, in what is known among scholars as the Table of Nations, we gain insight into where all these ethnic groups came from, and perhaps even where the races came from, because this gives us insight into Noah's three sons and their descendants, where they settled after the flood, and this is all significant. Now, families, they were grouped together for the most part. They migrated typically into one general geographic direction. That's kind of how they moved about back then. And so what happens is, for example, the descendants of Jephthah, they go and they settle relatively the same area. They are the what's known as the Indo-European group, Western Asia and Europe. Gomer, he's one of the sons of Jephthah. They live near the Black Sea. This, by the way, coming from the study notes from the NIV Study Bible, and I think they're pretty well the same in that whole Zondervan series. But they are probably the Cimmerians, Cimmerians. And so that's one people group that is formed after the flood. Magog, another one of the sons of Jephthah, probably went over to Russia in that area. Possibly the father of the Scythian people who inhabited the adjacent region southeast of the Black Sea. Madai, the Medes are descendants from these folks, lived in the area of the Caspian Sea. Javan, these folks went to southern Greece, perhaps western Asia Minor, Tubal-Meshech. And they probably are those who were in Pontus and the Moschian Mountains. Eastern Asia Minor, north of the Black Sea. So you have all these people here, and they're migrating after the flood. They go to different places. But generally the same Western Asia part, all the way to Europe and that sort of thing. Now, the descendants of Ham, they go down to the south. They go to northern Egypt, Egypt, Africa, northern Africa primarily, all right? For example, the sons of Ham, verse 6, Cush. Well, Cush, that is the upper Nile region, just south of Egypt. These would be the Ethiopians, people of that area. And also on the other side of the Red Sea as well, some scholars believe, but Yeah, that's the Cushites. Mizraim, his name means two Egypts, reference to Upper and Lower Egypt. That's Southern and Northern Egypt. Put either Libya or the land of the ancient Egyptians called Punt, Canaan, Land of the Purple. These are the folks in that area west of the River Jordan. All right. These folks, the name possibly means Land of Purple. And they were producers of purple dye and all those royal colors and things like that. Sidon, the whole Phoenician coast, that's kind of the name that stood for that area. So you see here a number of North Africa, those people groups represented here, as well as the Semitic people. All right. And then the descendants of Shem, which that picks up in verse 21, the descendants of Shem, the Shemites. And in fact, his son Eber, Abraham, is a descendant of Eber, and they become known as the Hebrew people. But originally, before Abraham moved out of his country, he was settled in Mesopotamia, the area of Ur of the Chaldees. That would eventually go on to become Babylon. All right, Elam, another one of the sons, the Elamites, they lived east of Mesopotamia, that region beyond the Tigris River. And they were a strong nation, recognized as a sovereign state by the Babylonians. Asher, another one of the descendants of Shem, probably an early form of the name of Assyria, and the Assyrians came from them, the headwaters of the Tigris and the Euphrates River, northern Mesopotamia, that area. Arphaxad, another one of the sons of Shem, maybe a compound form of the Hebrew word for Chaldea in southern Mesopotamia. Lud, probably the Lydians of Asia Minor. Aram, located north-northeast Canaan, the area known today as Syria. Aram, Arameans. That's Assyria and Mesopotamia. Yeah, those. So just at a glance at that particular section of scripture there in Genesis chapter 10, you can see that Shem, let's work our way backwards here, Shem's descendants, they settled in the Middle East, essentially. Ham's people, they went off south into Africa, although there were some folks even on the other side of the Red Sea, into maybe even Arabia. Jephthah's descendants, they migrated north into Western Asia and Europe. So you have all these people groups here. And no doubt after the worldwide flood, they spread even further than that. And they make their way all the way to the Far East. In fact, there are some traditions, I'm not sure about the reliability of this, but they say that Noah made his way all the way over there. And you can actually find flood traditions even in the Chinese records. So that's Genesis 10. Now, the very next chapter, Genesis chapter 11, we have the record of God dispersing the peoples all over the earth and confusing their languages. And that's in the account concerning the Tower of Babel. All right, they wanted to stay together, but then God exploded them out of that region, confusing their languages. They went all over the place, okay? Now, modern genetics shows how following that kind of breakup of a population, variations in skin color, for example, not just skin color, but all the differences, those can develop in only a few generations. And there's good evidence that the various people groups, ethnic groups that we have today have not been separated for huge periods of time. In fact, we believe it's several thousand years, but yeah, so modern genetics can back that up. Just after a few generations, you can have the variations of melatonin in the skin, and you can have the whole range, the whole spectrum of black, white, yellow, red, brown, all of it in just a few generations. And so you can back up to Genesis chapter 10. In fact, you can probably trace the three main races, if we want to use that kind of language, race. There are only three main races. I know people, you know, they don't make the distinction that I'm making between race and ethnicity, but it's there. Race, there's only three. There's the Negroid, Mongoloid, Caucasoid. Your Negroid, that would be your black population. Mongoloid, those would be your Asians as well as your Native American folks. All right, I'd fall into that category. Caucasoid, that'd be your Caucasian, the whites, okay? Those probably came from Noah's three sons, okay? And their descendants, they propagated all over the place, starting off in the one location but eventually spreading all over the place. And then once in these isolated areas like East Asia, distinct from North Africa, that's when they produced the various ethnicities. Even the Asians and Native Americans, while they differ in ethnicity, they're the same racially because they're Mongoloid. Truly, though, we can back this thing up even further, can't we, to our first parents, Adam and Eve? Contrary to Darwinian evolution that is pushed by secular progressives, we didn't evolve from apes and primates, okay? No, God created a single couple, and from them, through years of procreation and due to locality, and came all these various ethnic groups. Of course, that can be traced through Noah and the Ark. Has to be, because everyone else was wiped out. Even radical Darwinian evolutionists are starting to admit, at least, that we can trace our descent all the way back to a single mother. Mitochondrial Eve is what they call her. But yeah, that's what we've been saying the whole time. Welcome to the club, all right? Welcome to the discussion. It all came from one man, one woman, one couple that God created. Maybe we could even simplify it even further. We want to dispense with the talk about race and all that. There was really only one race, isn't there? The human race? The Bible tells us that God made from one man every nation of mankind. Acts 17 and verse 26. So yeah, we all came from one man, one woman. Just one blood. Your translation, that's what your translation says. And we all suffer from the same affliction, sin. And now we've come full circle, haven't we? Because that's where prejudice comes from. Prejudice comes from the sin of looking upon other people with hatred, malcontent, for whatever reason. I brought up the example from the Bible of Rebecca. I don't think that attitude's godly, okay? Yeah, it's looking upon other people as inferior to you, superiority complex. Full-blown racism, like that which, you know, that was found in Nazi Germany, that was based on the idea that the Aryan race was superior to all the others. That is certainly ungodly. But here's, as ugly as sin is, here's the beauty of all this. You ready for this? you go over to Galatians chapter 3, and the Apostle Paul talks about how in verses 26 through, well, you go to the end of the chapter, there in that section he says, "In Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ." There's the good news, that you do not have to remain in your sins. And even the sin of racism, even that can be forgiven. Even your mind and all of that, the prejudice in there can be redeemed. So that, verse 28, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." In Christ, while we maintain our racial and ethnic differences, I mean, you think about it, a black man does not cease to be a black man simply because he was baptized. Baptism washes away sins, not skin tone. While we maintain those distinctions, we all gain access to the glorious promise of inheritance. Sonship, that's what he talks about. Verse 29, "And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." So there you have it. It's in Christ that all of those sins can be forgiven, and we can all be one together. Listen, you hear people today, with all the racial tension in America, you hear people saying, you know, we need to have a conversation about race in America, or you know, somehow the protests, even the riots, are just going to somehow advance the conversation. Listen, if Christ is not at the heart of those conversations, they are non-starters. Period. Absent Christ, conversations about racial divisions and racial tension, it's hopelessly futile. And yet, you have pundits, you have thinkers, you have talkers talking, saying all kinds of things, but it's all disconnected from Christ. Listen, Jesus is the answer to the animosity among all races, ethnicities, factions, peoples and people groups. The church is, and it must be, the single place on this planet where Jew and Gentile, slave and free, black and white, educated and illiterate, Democrat and Republican, the haves and the have-nots, American capitalists and Chinese communists are united and one. Paul emphasizes that all over the place in his epistles. Ephesians 2, 14, 15, 16, 18, 1, 1, 1, 1. Racial, ethnic, you want to talk about driving wedges between people, groups, Jew and Gentile. That, it didn't get much deeper than that. And yet we have this double reconciliation where all people are reconciled to God in one body, and every person is reconciled to his fellow brother in Christ. You could add on to the list Sunni and Shiite Muslim. They can be united and together praise the one God, the true God, not Allah, but Yahweh, with one voice, one heart, one mind. Only Christ can make that happen. Sponsor this half hour, Christian Book Distributors. I've mentioned it before, as a preacher, I need good tools for Bible study. And so I go to CBD for all of my book and Bible needs. You can get all your Christian books and Bibles at bargain prices. They have a large selection of Christian fiction, kids' books, Christian music, DVDs, books, both classics and contemporary works, and Bibles, of course. CBD is sure to have exactly what you need. Go online and visit www.christianbook.com or call 1-800-CHRISTIAN. That's 1-800-247-4784. Christian Book Distributors, serving the Christian community for over 30 years. Okay, today in church history, John Newton is ordained. Now, John Newton, for those of you who don't know, he's the guy who wrote Amazing Grace. He had been a slaver until he was converted to Christ, and then that's when his whole world changed. Everything was turned upside down, and he renounced that, and he actually became a powerful preacher in British history, but also a powerful foe of slavery. And he wrote hundreds of hymns, perhaps the best known is Amazing Grace. But on this day, 251 years ago, he was ordained as a minister.
And now it's time for the question of the day. This is the question of the day on Life from the Pulpit.
Was Adam brown-skinned? Was Adam brown-skinned? Well, you know, the Bible really doesn't say what color skin Adam, the first man, had. So we can't say for sure. It doesn't say he was black, doesn't say he was white, doesn't say. But I believe we can suspect that Adam may have had medium brown skin color. Here's the thing. All humans, we all have the same element for skin color. It's pigment. It's called melanin. And melanin, if your body produces a lot of melanin, well, then you're going to be very dark, even black. Okay, if you don't produce that much, you don't have as much pigment, well, then you're going to be pretty fair, white, we might say. Okay. So it all comes down to how much pigment you have in your body. Well, according to the Answers book, it's explained there that from two people having the right mix of dominant recessive genes for the amount of melanin, all shades of color in humans could arise. And so what that means is, you know, let's say Adam and Eve, when they were created, they both had that middle brown color. Their body produced, you know, a medium amount, let's say, of melanin. Well, from that, all shades from black all the way to white could be accounted for in their future children, their future generations, even all the way down through Noah and his family, all the way down to today. And so, you know, for the same reason, they might have had brown eyes, dark hair, because you get that same principle applies, and you get all the spectrum in future generations. Blood type, the same thing could happen for blood type. If Adam, let's say, had type A and Eve had type B, well, then all the various blood types could be accounted for. They could arise from that. Even all the O's, A, A, B, O, all that. It is possible, genetically speaking, for that to be the case. So, you have brown skin. I think there's Jewish scholars back in the day who said he was ruddy. He kind of had a reddish complexion. Yeah, he had some kind of pigmentation, because everybody does, all right? Just, we're arguing about how much he had. Anyway, I'm out of time. Feel free to leave a comment on the website. I would like to hear what you have to say. Search Facebook, Life from the Pulpit. So like the Facebook page. You'll get all the updates when I go live with the podcast. Update the blog or post a new video on YouTube. Speaking of YouTube, search YouTube, Life from the Pulpit. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. All the Question of the Day segments are there for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. Follow me on Twitter, @inpulpit, at the letter N as in Nick, pulpit, P-O-P-I-T. Be sure and stop by the Life from the Pulpit blog, LIFE from the Pulpit, wordpress.com. All of my commentary there on Luke, James, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, John, Philippians, now Ephesians, all there, all available, all free for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. Check out Merced Church of Christ website, mercedchurchofchrist.org, mercedchurchofchrist.org. Brand new, all of the audio from our gospel meeting, all there, all available, all free for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. And as always, brethren, grace be with you all. Thanks for listening.